Well, I wish you all a very holy and happy Feast of Pentecost. You notice before the gospel was proclaimed, our lector read a sequence. For those of you that may not know, a sequence is always prior to the gospel on the biggest feasts of the church year. There's one at Easter, one at Pentecost, one at Corpus Christi, and there's even one on the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. Of the three persons of the Holy Trinity, I think the hardest one of those three persons for us to relate to is the Holy Spirit. Most of us can relate to the image of God the Father. And we can likewise imagine God the Son. But the Holy Spirit's image is sometimes a dove, fire, or as we heard in our first reading, a strong wind. It's even sometimes described as a breath. I want to be clear about this. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not some force, like the force be with you. Right? We're not talking about an impersonal force. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. The Lord said he would fill us with his grace. And he would dwell in us. So how do we relate to the Holy Spirit? There are a couple of images in our readings today that will help us understand what the Holy Spirit is doing for us and what role he has for us. You notice from the reading of Acts that St. Luke describes a noise like a strong wind that filled the entire house. This wind is filling them with God's life. To further understand this, I want you to go back with me to the book of Genesis. You remember in the story of God's creation of Adam, it says in the second chapter that God formed man out of dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a life giving spirit. Adam received the breath of God's life into him. Notice that you don't see this said in any of the other animals that God created. Only the human person has this dignity. We are unique, and we are the only ones to receive the very life breath of God. Tragically, in the third chapter of Genesis, Adam and Eve lost that life of breath of God. God had told them that the day you eat of the fruit, you will surely die. God didn't mean they would physically drop dead when they ate that fruit. But the truest aspect of their life, God's life, would go out of them. They sinned against God and the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit could no longer dwell in them. They died a spiritual death that day. But God did not leave it this way, because as we hear in our gospel, he came to that upper room. And the disciples were all huddled together there because they were afraid. They knew what the Jews had and the Romans had done to Jesus, and they were afraid that the same end might, that they might meet that same end. Now notice what happens next. God performs spiritual CPR on his disciples. He breathes new life into them. As that wind came through and filled the house with the Holy Spirit, tongues of fire rested on them. And they began to speak in different languages as the Spirit prompted them. All the fear that they had goes away. They are now ready to proclaim Jesus. Those tongues of fire I mentioned a moment ago are the second image of the Holy Spirit. One of the most common descriptions of God in the Old Testament is that He is a holy fire. We see this in Exodus, where Moses sees God in the burning bush. The fire blazes, but does not consume. That fire of the Holy Spirit blazes in every baptized person in the state of sanctifying grace. But God didn't give us that Holy Spirit to be hidden. He gave it to us just as He gave it to the disciples in today's readings. It rests on our shoulders to respond to the promptings of the Holy Spirit and to contribute our part in building up the kingdom of God. Lest we feel inadequate to the task, Paul reminds us that we have all the same Spirit that the apostles received. At our baptism, we received the same Holy Spirit who filled the apostles with seemingly superhuman courage and zeal for the gospel. At confirmation, we received the fullness of the gifts of the Holy Spirit to better equip us to fulfill our particular service in which we are called in our life. So on this day of Pentecost, let us ask the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts and to transform us so that we may be oriented to the sanctification of us and of all those that we encounter each and every day of our lives.